I've built these hacks around a quote that I love from the founder of CD Baby. He says, don't waste years running into walls or locked doors. Instead, invent and iterate until you find that open window and you can just soar with opportunity. And that's a paraphrase. It's close, but it's not exactly right. But here's what I love, okay? Hack number one, test and iterate everything. Operationally, in marketing, marketing's a science, but it's inexact. And so you don't know what's going to work for you in marketing until you test and iterate.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we got to speak with Chase Neely. He is the co-founder and president of Leverage Brands. By trade and training, Chase is an intellectual property attorney who helps Grammy Award-winning songwriters, producers, New York Times best-selling authors, and other creative professionals at the intersection between their business and their art. Leverage is the third company Chase founded. He started his own law firm in 2012. Then, in 2016, Chase founded Kirkwood Business Management Incorporated, a tax strategy and preparation firm for creative professionals, which he sold in 2019. Chase Neely. Chase, thank you so much for coming on and being a guest here on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dude, so I see that you love the power of personal brand, and I do too. It is something that I talk about to literally everybody and anybody that I meet. And I tell them, you got to build your personal brand. You got to build your personal brand. How do you think Nike made it out there with, they would not have a basketball shoe department if they didn't spend the money, brought in Michael Jordan. The same thing with Pepsi, wouldn't be where they are if they hadn't brought in Michael Jackson to promote the brand, because that personal brand is what makes it really happen. Now, before we get into the power of personal branding, I want to learn and share with the audience who Chase Neely is. So let's take a walk down memory lane. We discover your origin story, and because I know the journey is long, I'm sure that there's stories in there that's going to resonate with people listening to the episode.
Well, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this since you sent me the question, what is my origin story? And I think it's pretty atypical, actually. I was a music major in college. I came to Nashville, Tennessee to pursue that degree as a singer. And about halfway through school, I realized that I was more drawn to the business side of music than to the performing side. My friends started to get contracts that I knew were bad, but I couldn't tell them exactly why.
Yeah.
And so I went from there to law school to figure out why, so that I could tell them that. All the while, I was working as a marketer, first at Thomas Nelson, which was a publishing company in town that's now part of HarperCollins. And I kept that interest through law school. And so when I came out of law school and had passed the bar, my first client out of school was a New York Times bestselling author, where I started as the social media intern.
Nice.
And I said, hey, by the way, just passed the bar exam. I can do your legal work too. And so I kind of started a dual path with that company, where I became the CMO and the general counsel.
That's amazing.
And in 2018, my business partner and I, that company dissolved, and my business partner and I started Leverage Brands to continue that mission, where I come alongside as that strategy piece to help personal brands reach as many people as possible online. And so it's an atypical origin story, but it's one that fits me. And I think that's the important thing about a personal brand, right?
Yeah.
It has to be authentic to who you are, every part of you. And that's what I try to encourage the thought leaders, authors, speakers, musicians, anybody that I talk to. That's how I try to encourage them.
No, I love that so much, because a lot of the times as an entrepreneur or as an author, you want to focus on the material you're teaching. Right. You want to focus on, no, I want to focus on this thing. Like, yes, but people aren't interested in this thing. They're interested in this thing right here, who you are. They want to know who you are so they can relate. You know, we find relations and we find that connection all the time. I mean, reading and books, especially books, are so important, because they have been read to us since age one. Like, I'm putting my one-year-old to sleep. I read the Goodnight Moon book to him, right? So there's all these things that are connecting, that he's connecting to those books, and he's pointing at things. And we have a really strong connection to books as a very young person. So as you grow up, you build that connection with other books and other authors. At first, you're going to be interested in the story. And then you're going to look at, who's the author? I want to read more books from the same author. Both my kids are, you know, avid readers. They've read the Dog Man book series. They've read, you know, Wings of Fire. They read the Harry Potter. They haven't gone to Lord of the Rings yet. But, you know, they are avid readers. And it's that connection with these books that is so natural to us, and so important to show that personal.
Yeah, 100%. You're exactly right. And I think when I'm talking to authors, and I have a call later today with one, where we're going to have to delve into, okay, is your message the book, or is the message something that can go beyond that? And I think if it can go beyond that, that means that you're building a personal brand. You're not building a book brand. And I've had it both ways, where some authors want to build the brand that's going to be bigger than themselves in the material. But that's rare. Usually it's the author who's building their personal brand so that people are drawn to their story, and drawn really to the type of things that they authentically create. And that's what a personal brand has to come back to, is that authenticity. And it's so valuable what you said there. I love that.
Now, if you were to look at the brand that J.K. Rowling's built with the Harry Potter series, would that be considered a book brand or a personal brand, or is it a combination?
That's a great question. I think that depending on your different views about J.K. Rowling, you kind of wish that it was just a Harry Potter brand, right? Because when the personal brand came out, people were trying to square, well, I love the books, but I don't necessarily love the things that she's saying. But people still love the books. And so for her in particular, she became part of a phenomenon where Harry Potter permeated the culture. Yeah. That's rare. Right. That's a exception to the rule. Generally speaking, when you're talking about an author, that author has to understand that if they want to create fans, the way that they create fans is by being true to themselves. A great example of this in my mind is Malcolm Gladwell. And so whereas Harry Potter became a cultural phenomenon on itself, Malcolm Gladwell has become a cultural phenomenon for the types of stories that he tells. And it doesn't matter if it's a nonfiction book about bombers in World War II, which is one of his latest, or if it's David and Goliath or Outliers or the books that everybody knows, or if it's Revisionist History, his podcast, people come for him. And I think that that's the proven way to build a personal brand, where you're building fans of the things that you create, regardless of what those things are. Because they know what to expect from you.
That's so true. And another example would be Seth Godin, right? He's built a similar brand in marketing space. And I think a lot of people that we see coming out in the social media, for example, Alex Hormozi, I think he's building a similar personal brand with the books that he has and, you know, the following that he's cultivated. Gary Vaynerchuk, I think, would be another great example of how he's built that personal brand. But he didn't just step out to build a personal brand, though, right? He started a totally different, atypical, start of how he got to there.
Yeah, and I think with those guys, let's talk about Gary Vee for a minute. His brand is contrarian. He's zigging where everybody else is zagging. And that's worked really well for him, because it's drawing people to see, hey, there's another way that I can do business. There's another way that I can do work. And even his personal brand has shifted over time, as the cultural, I guess, zeitgeist has shifted over time too. Because initially it was more hustle culture, and now it's more work-life balance.
Yeah.
And he's got his finger on the pulse of that, so that people are coming to him for an authentic experience of who he is and who he is becoming. And because he's always authentically in the open with that, people continue to be attracted to it, regardless of how he changes over time.
I think there was a video I recently saw, and it was very straightforward, no language, right? And then somebody commented, "This is the first video I've seen of you without any language."
That's right.
Does it even matter if it's there or not? Because it's the messaging, right? Even mm-hmm. even if he has some words in there, it's choice words, it's because he's so passionate about it that he wants you to pay attention to the messaging.
Yeah, he can't help but be that guy, mm-hmm. right? He yeah. can't help but communicate passionately about what he believes in that moment.
Yeah.
And his brand is built on evolution. It's the evolution of what he's learning over time and what's important. So I think that as long as he's able to communicate that passionately, people will mm-hmm. continue to be drawn to his brand. Where you see people fail, by the way,
yeah.
is when they forget to be authentic.
Mm.
It's when they've kind of put up a wall to their fan base and they said, well, I'm not going to let you into this part.
Sure.
Because for whatever reason, it can be altruistic or it can be specific. But then they see that part and it doesn't jive with what you've built elsewhere. And that's when a personal brand fails. And I think we've seen countless examples of that over the past mm-hmm. 5 to 7 years as well, of personal brands losing the trust of the audience because they weren't completely authentic. Whereas people who are completely authentic with warts and all, people still are drawn to them
mm-hmm.
because they're willing to be completely authentic.
Yeah.
But you can't hide anymore in the personal branding space. And that's really, it's a really tough pill to swallow for people, especially who were raised up during that generation of kind of a crafted personal brand.
Yeah, that's fake it till you make it era versus just be yourself and mm-hmm. let the world see what you're capable of. So Chase, let's delve into what it takes to build a personal brand. You've mentioned a lot about being authentic. You've mentioned a lot about being true to who you are. Like, how does somebody be true to themselves? Like, give us a little sliver of, you know, how does somebody get started? Like, so the reason I want to put this in delicate way is I'm also teaching entrepreneurship to high school students. So I want them to take a listen to this too, because as they're building and coming up with these visions of the products and companies that they're forming, they want to also see, hey, how important is my personal brand as I'm building this company? All right. So take it away.
Yeah. And I think that when you think about building a personal brand, it's like building a business. When you're from an entrepreneurial standpoint, from a personal brand standpoint, it doesn't matter. You have to start with the foundation. And the foundation of any business or any personal brand is, what's your mission?
Mm.
What are your core values? What is the one thing that you will accomplish, that thing that you're passionate about, that you're adding to the world as a personal brand or as a business? Mm. And then what core values will be your guardrails for what you will do and what you won't do to get there? And I think if you can start in those spots,
mm-hmm.
you have a North Star to look back to continually to say, okay, should I be a speaker? Should I write a book? Should I do YouTube? Should I do TikTok? Whatever it is, whatever decision you're trying to make, you look back to that North Star of the mission. You say, well, does it fit the mission? And if it doesn't fit the mission, you know the answer is no.
Mm.
If it does fit the mission, but something else fits the mission better, then you choose the thing that fits the mission better. Yeah. It's kind of that North Star guiding light. This is where I'm going.
Yeah.
And if you can start there, you're going to be in a great spot to build a personal brand that lasts.
Yeah.
Because I think if your mission is something that's not adding to the world, if you just want to make more money or you want more fans or followers or whatever, then you'll do whatever it takes to get those things.
Mm.
And as soon as you build it, it goes away. Right. It's not something that lasts.
Borrowed land. It's built on lies and it's built on not the truths. And
that's right. It's built on whatever it takes to get to that goal. But that goal doesn't add anything to yourself. You don't grow, but it also doesn't add anything to the world. And I think from a business perspective, you think about businesses that are built without product market fit, right? That's a business that I'm going to get this out there no matter what. And then you launch the product and what happens? Nothing. It's the same thing with a personal brand. You launch your personal brand and nothing. Nobody responds to it because it's not an authentic version of you helping somebody else.
Mm.
And I think that's really what it comes down to. You got to build that foundation. And then from there, the tactics become clear.
Yeah. I love that so much. So let's say they've decided that they want to build this personal brand. How would you say define a personal mission or a vision for a personal brand?
Usually we do that by just asking. I like to start with the core values. So what are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. How are you going to do those things? What are the things that really stick out to you? Like for us, our core values are faith and family first. We know that people come to work, but that's not the whole person. There's mm-hmm. stuff outside of work that's really more important. We have always be learning. We don't want our people to come in a digital marketing field and be stagnant. We want them to be pushing themselves. We have the third one, which is to share expertise. It's why I'm here. I want to share my expertise with as many people as possible because I don't have the monopoly on this information, right?
Right.
You can find all of this anywhere, mm-hmm. but I want to share my expertise in the hopes that in some way I make it clearer. And then finally, we have a high expectation, but a healthy tension. Yeah. And the reason that we have those things is so that with our brand, we are amplifying innovative companies. We're amplifying thought leaders so that they can reach as many people as possible online. And so that's the core values are how we do it. The mission statement is why we do it. And if you're trying to build your mission statement, ask yourself why you want to get into this personal branding space in the first place.
Mm.
And then you say, well, I want something I can control. Okay, why? Why do you want something you can control? And you can kind of keep going into this. The paradigm is called five whys. You keep going through these five whys until you get to the core of why you're actually doing it. And that's when you hit the magic of understanding what your mission is. And when you hit the magic of understanding the mission, then you can find the core customer. Then you can find the core values. And then you can find really what will sustain the personal brand over time.
Yeah, I love that so much. Having that core values drive the mission. And I can see, that actually gives me a lot of context into seeing the core values that the students are bringing, because I've got 22 students. They've come up with not 22 ideas, because some people were like, hey, I want to work with this guy, or we're forming a team together. And also that's always very important, because then you can bring different expertise into that entrepreneurship. As you stepped into and created Leverage Brands, you already told us what your core values are at Leverage Brands, right? How does it help you stand out in the market, and how do you help artists and creative professionals navigate the business side of their craft?
So I think the difference for us, and it's in that word amplify. We're not going to rest until we accomplish that goal for the brands that we work with. And so because of that, we have a track record of proven results that people can look back to, that people refer clients to us for. And because of that track record of proven results, we're differentiating the marketplace, because we don't feel like it's a success if we do what we say we're going to do and it doesn't yield results. Mm-hmm. We in fact, if we have done what we said we were going to do and it doesn't produce results, sometimes we don't charge our people for that work, because we're not happy with that. Our mission is to amplify. Mm-hmm. So if we're not amplifying, if the results don't happen, we're going to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying until we figure that out alongside the clients we work with. And that's led to our success. And it's actually led to our name change. We were Leverage Creative Group for a long time, but we're not a creative group.
Mm.
We leverage brands. That's what we do.
Nice.
And so we made the company name fit the mission, so that everything is kind of aligning under this idea that if we're not leading to results, you shouldn't work with us anymore.
So that's really powerful. I love that you took the mission and took the mission to heart in such a way that now the company is literally says what the mission of the company is. And now the customers can say the core values and say what the company does, and are able to reflect that in the deliverable results that you've provided. That's awesome.
Yeah. And we really try to do that across the board with the clients that we work with as well. We want them to have one sentence. So our sentence is our name. We leverage brands.
Yeah.
But we want them to have one sentence as well. We work with a guy named Jerry Jenkins, who teaches writers how to write books. And his sentence is, let me help you write your book. It's simple. You know what you're doing there.
Yeah.
We work with a company called Better Songs. At Better Songs, they help you write better songs. Like, it's on the nose. I don't want the customer to be confused. I want them to know why they're there so that they can build trust with the brand almost immediately, because that promise we keep delivering on over and over and over again.
Love that. So how do you, let me ask you about your entrepreneur's only journey. So you sold the company back in 2019, Kirkwood Business Management. How was that experience? And as a three-time founder, what are some of the consistent lessons or themes you've encountered across your entrepreneurial endeavors?
Man, that's a good question. I think if I had learned them all, I wouldn't keep starting companies, right? That's probably one of the things. I think it's funny. You hear the term serial entrepreneur. Mm. Leverage Brands is a business where we literally launch businesses. So yeah. I am the serial entrepreneur of serial entrepreneurs, I think, in that respect. I love that idea stage where we're ideating, we're building those foundational pieces, and we're launching to the market. I love that. And so I've done it, like you mentioned, three times. The first time was with my law firm. I hung my shingle straight out of law school and built that up. And I learned in that lesson that you have to do work that you absolutely love to do. There's parts of legal work that I love to do. There's other parts that I don't. Mm-hmm. And those things like, you know, billing or the back office or things like that.
Yeah.
You gotta build those. You gotta get those out of your hands and into somebody's hands. That's going to benefit you. And so in the second business, Kirkwood Business Management, when I launched that, it was a product market fit. Mm-hmm. I was not passionate about it, but I knew the market needed it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I can feel that need. And I found in that one, you need to have a passion for it. And again, I had delegated the things I didn't like to do. But I needed to have a passion for the business. And Leverage Brands, I have a passion for it. I've delegated the work I don't like to do. Yeah. And now what I'm learning is you have to delegate the work that you like to do so that you can continue to raise up your team underneath you. Mm. And that's the hardest lesson I've had to learn so far, but it's a very valuable lesson.
Yeah.
That as you're growing yourself as a founder, you have to keep pushing yourself to grow with the business.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're not the right answer for the operations of the business, even if you're great at it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a really hard lesson to learn. I wrote a blog post about firing myself. And that's a really strong thing for a founder to be able to do.
Yeah. Wow. That's really powerful. And it's so true. It's almost like you've graduated from being the founder. You know, now that's you right. want to do other things that are going to challenge you and help you grow. And with a growth mindset, if you're not growing, you're not in alignment with your passion, with who you are. So I love that you fired yourself from being the founder, being, you know, what you were in operations, and now hand it off to somebody who can better perform those duties, who can, I think it was Henry Ford who said, hey, I don't need to know anything. I can dial a number and get in any expertise that I want by a touch of a button, right? So find experts that can elevate you so you can stay in your genius zone and keep bringing those smart ideas to reality.
Yeah, and it's such a hard lesson, man. I'm still learning it. I don't know if you can tell this is me being authentic as well. This is me being...
I can feel it in your voice. I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of thing in there that's like, it's almost like your tears were about to flow.
That's right. I don't want to do it. Right. I don't want to let go, but I have to. And so that's why we added that last core value, high expectation, healthy tension. That's a way for me to trust that when I let it go, it will be okay.
Yeah.
Because I can have the hard conversations when it's not performing the way that I want it to perform. I can have a high expectation of the team to perform really, really well. With those two things, my business partner and I both, we're really both trying to continue to move out of the operations and elevate people within who've been with us for a long time. And they can do it. They're competent to do it. Now we have to train on culture. We have to train on mission alignment. We have to look for the next opportunities for growth.
Yeah.
And they're in charge of that fulfillment and holding true to the core values.
And I love that so much. A quick question for intellectual property. How do you think the landscape of IP is evolving? especially in the age of digital content and streaming, because literally everybody's creating digital content, everybody's streaming. Like, what's happening? Where are we going?
Man. And then there's this two-letter word that came out, AI, that has shifted all of those things as well.
Yes.
I think it's kind of the Wild West. We had the Wild West already and we thought we were done, right? I think the labels and the publishing companies, they thought they were done with that when the streaming platforms kind of settled. But no, it's ever evolving and it's changing faster than ever. If you think about publishing, publishing's been around since the printing press, mm-hmm. right? And it evolved slowly, very slowly.
Yes.
And then ebooks entered in the 90s, and all of a sudden, bada bing, bada boom, you're into this new world of digital mm-hmm. publishing where anybody can publish their books.
Yeah.
You don't need to be platformed by a publishing company. You can publish your own books. Same thing with music, right? Mm-hmm. Early on, and music's younger than book publishing, but that's music true. Publishing started in, let's say, it started with the printing press as well, but the labels that we know today with the vinyl records and moving into CDs and or cassette tapes and then CDs, et cetera, it's just evolving faster and faster. And that's another reason why that core value, always be learning, is a core value for our company. It's also a personal core value.
Yeah.
You can't stop or you'll be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we continue to try to learn just to keep up. And I think the IP landscape, I don't know where it will be mm-hmm. in 10 years. I know that ideas will still be protected. I know that creators will still create better than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how that's going to evolve in protection. But I know that I'm going to keep up on it and keep protecting my clients and make sure that we are in the forefront of that.
As your core values, always be learning, what's next for Leverage Brands? Any exciting projects or initiatives you'd like to share?
Yeah, so we are kind of opening up our calendar for more clients. Over the past 5 years, we've worked with 4 clients a year intentionally. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, we don't rest until the job is done, until the results are there. And now we've found ways to kind of scale that a bit. And so we're opening up that side of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that we're doing is we're looking for brands that are ready for a new partner. And we're looking to actively invest in brands so that we can come alongside and use our expertise to push those brands forward. And so it's kind of a dual strategy, I guess, of acquisition through partnerships or of digital marketing services. Because I do see there's a brand conglomeration coming mm-hmm. and we want to be a part of that because we've spent a lot of time understanding why brands work.
Yeah. I love that so much because it's through collaboration, it's through working together with other like-minded people is how we grow. I mean, if you look at Amazon or Apple or any of these big companies, they are constantly collaborating. They're constantly working with other people, other brands. I mean, Amazon alone has probably one of the largest collaboration with other third-party resellers, third-party sellers, that's right. Right? The affiliate, they have one of the largest affiliate programs. They have one of the largest warehousing facilities to be able to get the products to people faster. They're employing gig workers to deliver the product. Like, you think of a multi-billion-dollar company, I think they're a $1 trillion company, you have to employ millions of people to bring that energy together and get that flowing. So it's really important to find the right key partnerships. And that's one of the blocks in the business model canvas, key partnerships. Who are you partnering with? Who's going to help you move forward? So I love that you're moving into that position with Leverage Brands.
Yeah. And I think the big thing that the generation behind us knows maybe better than we do is that there's enough pie for everybody.
Yes.
So help people.
Amen.
It's not really that difficult, right? Yeah. You help people and your business grows because of it. And that's a core part of what we were trying to do as well.
I love that. All right, Chase, let's take a quick break and when we get back, we'll share 3 hacks to share with the audience that they can implement in their lives, in their entrepreneurship, in their business immediately. I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at Humble Zone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery, I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Hey guys, welcome back to the episode. We've been talking with Chase Neely here, talking about personal brand, and the more authentic you are in your personal brand, the more you're going to attract your target audience, your people, your tribe, and your community. Chase, you have a few hacks for our audience. Let's take it away.
I do. All right. Three hacks. Here we go. I've built these hacks around a quote that I love from the founder of CD Baby. He says, "Don't waste years running into walls or locked doors. Instead, invent and iterate until you find that open window and you can just soar with opportunity." And that's a paraphrase. It's close, but it's not exactly right. But here's what I love. Okay. Hack number one, test and iterate everything operationally. In marketing, marketing's a science, but it's inexact. And so you don't know what's going to work for you in marketing until you test and iterate. Okay, so that's number one, test and iterate. Number two, you have to be measuring your results and you have to measure what matters. So know the KPIs that are running your business and focus on those things and use your tests, use your iterations to improve those. For our business, it's leads coming in the door. We have to be able to test and iterate on that. It's traffic to the websites, right? And so those are the two things that we're going to test and iterate on the most. All right. Number three, take time to improve and invent. So you've tested, you've iterated, you've measured, and you're stuck. Take some time away. Step away from the computer, go on a walk on your street, whatever it takes to give yourself the ability to dream. Dream new things. And with those three hacks, your business will continue to make progress. I can't promise you that it's going to skyrocket, but I can promise you this. If you're testing and iterating, if you're measuring results, and if you're dreaming, your business is going to improve.
Oh my God, I love those hacks so much. Test and iterate.
Measure the results.
Measure the results. Yes, you got to measure the results to see it's working or not. And then go away and dream so that you come back and solve those problems. As a software developer for the past 20 years, iteration is the core of developing software. I mean, we're using apps all the freaking time. And how many times is there an update available for the app? Because they're testing, they're iterating, they're putting new features into it just to see how it is going to perform and you know, it's just getting better and evolving over time.
I love that. The people who develop software are some of the most creative people we know, right? Yes. They're geniuses, you included, of course. But one thing that I like to do is steal their processes. Okay, so test and iteration, I'm stealing that from them. Empathy maps, I'm stealing that from them. Like marketers need empathy maps just as much as software developers.
Yeah.
Having third parties come in and test the thing, beta tests. I'm going to beta test websites. I'm doing all of these things as well so that I can make sure that we're incrementally improving. I love the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. Yeah. And he talks about that 1% improvement compounded over time. That's what we're all about. That's what we need to be doing. And that will improve your business.
100%. Thank you so much, Chase. Those were absolutely amazing things. And as human beings, you want to steal the best ideas so that you can make it work. Because if it's already working, why invent the wheel? That's why there's Uber for cats, Uber for dogs, Uber for, you know, they're like, hey, Uber's already working. How can we iterate? how can we build on top of that? It's like shoulders of giants, right? You got to continue to elevate yourself. All right, let's jump into our fun questions that I love to ask my guests.
Can't wait. Let's do it.
Or let's do this. Exploring uncharted territories. Name a hobby you've always wanted to dive into, but haven't yet. And why?
Wood carving, because I'm not at all patient enough for it. But I love watching the videos where they're on the wood turner and they're making really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Wish I could do it. Mm. Not at all patient enough to try it. But that's the one.
I love that my friend in Colorado, Andy Zartman, he is a woodworker himself, and his entire 3-car garage is full of wood turning, wood gear and whatnot. And so one time he had created something for me, and then we were just standing there watching the lathes turn as he carved out from that wood, and I'm like, wow, this is so soothing to watch. And
that's right.
And I'm guilty of watching these videos where people are building woodworking equipment, or they're carving, or, you know, they're like, this one guy would take a whole bunch of colored pencils, put them in this rubber band, right?
I love it.
Pour all of that epoxy. Then he cuts it all up, and then I'm like doing all sorts of things. Like, what is going on? And then the final product is just like, wow, that's a beautiful piece of art. Taking time and dreaming big. I love that. Next up, rewinding time. What childhood dream job did you aspire to, and how does it contrast with your current career?
Wow. I have a couple of answers to this question. I'm going to give you the second one.
Okay.
I'm going to hold the first one back. I wanted to be an announcer for sportscasts.
Mm.
And maybe that's part of the reason I'm doing this today. on a podcast. I like having a microphone, you see, and I like talking into it. And so I thought that would be a lot of fun to do, but it contrasts, of course, because I am completely a homebody, and those guys travel all the time.
They do, right?
And so I part of me misses it, but also I'm kind of glad that I didn't end up doing that as well.
You found a perfect balance between that and this, right? So it's like I said, it's got to work for you and be authentic around it. All right, next up, from screen to life, can you share a movie or TV show that not only entertains you, but also offers a lesson that resonated with your life or career journey?
Man, there's so many movies and TV shows that I love. The one that immediately comes to mind, and this might be a little basic, okay? I'm going to just say that it's a little basic, but I have watched The Big Bang Theory, the whole TV series, multiple times.
Yes.
Because I love that it's okay to be a nerd in that show. And I am definitely a nerd when it comes to this marketing stuff. And so it helps me find a home, really. So it's soothing to know that there's other people out there who are thinking about things as deeply as I think about marketing.
No, man, that is an absolutely amazing show. I loved watching it. And I wish I could do the Bazinga or the Major. No, that was somewhere from the Major was from another one. That was from How I Met Your Mother.
That's right. But, yeah, I remember those.
But he's always saying Bazinga. And then like the spinoff of that show where there's Sheldon when he was a child or whatever. I can't remember the name of that show, but it's a really amazing
Young Sheldon.
Yes, the young Sheldon. And he's essentially built that personal brand that TV show, right? Now I can't remember his name, but we know him as Sheldon, right? It's kind of crazy.
Jim something. Yeah, but you're right. He's Sheldon to everybody and will be for a long time.
Yes. All right. Next
Jim
up.
Parsons. I found it. It was Jim Parsons.
Jim Parsons. That's right. Now, Seinfeld was kind of smart because he used his name for the show.
And it was authentically him, right? Like it was about him.
It was about him.
Yes. As an individual. So he could just take that personal brand with him throughout his career.
Exactly.
He didn't have to change who he was. He was a comedian in the show. He's a comedian in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's interesting. That's an interesting personal brand study too. Yeah. Gary, if you're listening, we'd love to work together. Just give me a call.
Yes. All right. Next up. Imagining yourself on the silver screen. If you could embody a character from any movie, who would it be? And how does this character's journey mirror contrast with your own?
Yeah, obviously Hercules. I think the Rock's version is who I look like the most. So we'll take that.
Hell yeah.
This movie terrifies me, but not because it's scary, but maybe because I resonate with it. But if you've seen the movie A Beautiful Mind,
mm-hmm.
I can Russell often Crowe. Be found. Yeah, I can often be found writing on windows and just if you put a whiteboard in the room, I'm going to write on it. Just maybe nonsense to most people, but it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And I just constantly have to ask people if they're really there. Like, I just want to make sure that you're a real person. Mm-hmm. You're here, right? I'm not talking to a wall right now.
I'm here.
Okay, cool. That's oddly comforting. But yeah, that's been a movie that has really resonated with me and stuck with me through since it came out, I guess, in the early 2000s. So
yeah, man, that's a nice one. All right, next up. Navigating through the world of superheroes, who's your favorite, and is there a particular trait that possesses that you wish to embody or believe you already do in your professional life?
I think a lot of these are aspirational. Like I'm sitting back listening and I'm saying, wow, I've compared myself to a genius in Jim Parsons as Sheldon. I've compared myself to a genius in John Nash. I don't think I'm a genius. Like, I aspire to learn as much as those guys knew, right? Mm-hmm. But in the same way with the superhero, that Captain America character, somebody that people look up to, who is full of integrity, completely authentic to who he is all the time, regardless of the consequences.
Yeah.
That's somebody that I'd love to emulate for sure.
I love that.
And
so
being
much.
Super buff would be great, but I don't know if that's
I know. Place. We just need some of that serum, you know.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch the What If series.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh my God, you got to go check it out because
okay. It's
not Captain America in there. It's somebody else. And you're going to love it. You're going to be like, oh my God, yes. I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's going to be
okay. I'll check it out.
Next up, if your career or personal journey was a board game, which one would it be and why? Is there a strategy in the game that you find applicable in real life scenarios?
First of all, love board games. So love this question. Second of all, I'm going to give you two answers. The first one is, I think I would like to be playing Monopoly, where, you know, you're acquiring properties, putting hotels on them once you get the Monopoly and going around the board. Yeah. Really, a lot of times I feel like I'm playing the game of life where you're just spinning a wheel at random and landing on a square and being like, oh no, well, I owe how much for what, kid?
Yeah.
I owe you money for having a child. I don't know. I don't know how this is happening to me. So I would like to think I'm intentionally building a business versus having life happen to me, but it's probably a mixture of both of those.
Man, that was so much fun. I love it. I love those answers. Thank you so much, Chase, for coming onto the podcast. Where can my audience find you?
Yeah, I'd love to talk to you. First of all, just go to leveragebrands.co/pod. And I've opened some time on my calendar just to talk to your audience specifically. So if you want to catch up, if you want to talk personal branding, if you want to geek out about marketing, feel free to go over there at leveragebrands.co/pod.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Chase, for setting up that special link for the audience. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. This was a fun episode around personal branding, around who you are authentically. You don't have to be somebody else because you are already who you are because everybody else is taken. All right. All right. From Chase and I, thank you so much again for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.